Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, an Italian-American podcast, and I am your host, Frankie D, and I have the pleasure to introduce my guest today. He is the legendary Hall of Fame high school basketball coach, Gene Pingitore of St. Joseph's High School in Westchester, Illinois. Coach, it's an honor to be with you today here.
Well, thank you. It's an honor and pleasure to be here.
And we are in the in your office that you've had for many, many decades.
Not that long, because we moved from the old school to the new school.
Okay. Well, some of your incredible accomplishments, I mean, there are so many, but you're in countless Hall of Fames, East Suburban Catholic, Illinois Basketball Coach Association, Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. You've won two state titles, 1999, 2015. You've coached many NBA players that played at your high school, which is incredible. You were in the, the documentary Hoop Dreams that probably won awards as well. You coached Isaiah Thomas, who won a NCAA championship, NBA championship, Hall of Famer, and all of it. Yes.
Probably the best player ever to come out of the state of Illinois.
Probably the best player, yes, absolutely. And you have over 1,000 wins in Illinois, which makes you number one by far, I believe. Like, you are ahead of the next guy is like 100 games behind you. Is that correct?
I don't know about that, but...
pretty far behind you.
The guy that was behind me quit.
He quit. Okay, so you're in good shape with that.
Quit.
All right, over 1,000 wins. And I read a stat. There are only 14 coaches in the United States.
15. Yeah.
Oh, is there 15? Okay.
15.
With more wins than you have at the high school level. That's your number 15.
I don't know where I sit.
That's incredible.
There are 15 coaches in the United States with 1,000 or more wins.
Wow.
But
incredible.
I'm not sure where I fit.
Incredible. And it all starts with your Italian-American background.
Absolutely.
I would love to know about your Italian family, where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in Cicero, in a great town to grow up in. And
was it pretty Italian back then in those days?
Well, there were sections. Grant Works was Italian, and on the south side, it was very Polish and Bohemian, and as you got toward Berwyn, it was more Bohemian. So it was
Okay.
was a lot of diversity.
Okay.
But my family grew up in Park Home, where I grew up in Park Home with my mom and dad and my grandparents on my mother's side of the family.
They were living in the house with you, so.
Initially.
Yes.
For a while we did, because I burned our apartment down one time.
You did?
I did, right. I was...
playing with matches?
No, I was... It was a Saturday morning. Mom and Dad had gone shopping, and you could see the apartment from the butcher shop. And my great-grandmother was making breakfast for us, and I was sitting there listening to Tarzan
on the radio.
Yeah. So I told my sister, it was a break, I said, hey, let's go explore the jungle. And which meant my closet.
Oh,
and
right.
My mother had put in the closet, there were curtains that were from the cleaners in wrapped cellophane or whatever mm-hmm. it was. So I said, let's go. I lit a candle and we went in there. The thing went up.
Oh.
Now my great-grandmother, God rest her soul, she saw what was happening, and she was frying sausage, of course.
Okay.
And in the greasy frying pan, she put water and threw it on the fire, and that just...
She got it out? Grease would make it go worse.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the whole apartment.
No one got hurt.
No one got hurt.
But
the apartment burned down, so we had nowhere to go, so We ended up living with grandma and grandpa down the street.
All right. That's not a bad thing. A bad reason to do it, but not a bad thing to do.
Right.
Where's the family from in Italy?
Mother's side of the family, we're from Potenza, so we're Basilicata.
All right.
And my dad's side, Cosenza, so we're Calabrese on that side.
Nice. Good combination.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you were a basketball player yourself.
I played at St. Mel, played the Cicero School first. In fact, I just had lunch with my grade school coach.
Your grade school coach?
Right. He just turned 90.
Wow.
And he was a young guy, and it was his first job at Cicero School, Ted Adams.
God
bless. Eventually became superintendent of the schools. He stayed there and did well. But he contacted me, and we got together for lunch. And it was
That's very nice. Yeah, that's very nice. So and you played at St. Mel, which was
St. Mel, right.
Was that in those days? That was a pretty big-time high school,
St. Mel was on the west side of Chicago, 1 North Kildare, and 1,400 boys. It was like two
big
warehouses
school.
On Madison. We had no facilities as far as fields or whatever. If we wanted to play football or baseball, we had to walk to Garfield Park, which was
a distance.
Okay. And then we had basketball, and I played basketball there.
And did you said you were city champs?
We were city champs in 1954. Beat the legendary DuSable team. We were not part of the state association at that time. And as a result, we didn't go downstate, so the city championship was the
big thing.
Big
thing? That was your state.
Well, they had gone down, and they went the furthest any city team had gone at the time.
Really?
They took second in the state, and they were probably more talented than the team that beat them. In fact, it was Mount Vernon that beat them. They had three or four guys that turned professional. Paxton Lumpkin played with the Globetrotters right out of high school.
Wow.
Shelly McMillan, they played for the Pistons. McKinley Cousin, I know, played at DePaul. I'm not sure if he went pro, and there was one more guy. But very talented. We had 15,500 at the Chicago Stadium standing room only.
Wow, that's a huge crowd.
It was huge.
Yeah. It's like a professional game.
It was very, 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 it was just an unbelievable evening. It was. People couldn't get in. They were clamoring to get in. I couldn't get in. And some priest saw I was having trouble getting in, so he helped us get in. Otherwise, I don't know if I would have made it to the game.
So if your school would have been part of the Illinois Association, it's a good chance you guys would have been state champions.
We were that caliber of team.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have to be good, but you have to be lucky to make it downstate. No question.
So did you play in college as well?
From St. Mel, I went to Loyola of Los Angeles, which now is called Loyola Marymount, and played 4 years there, and changed my major from pre-med to history because I wanted to coach.
Because you wanted, well, that was my next question.
Right.
Did you want to be a coach, or was that something? So initially, you were going to be a doctor.
Right. And there was a point in my life in school that I had to make a decision. We had courses that you had to spend a lot of time outside of the class in order to get the grades and so forth and so on. And I was playing basketball. So now it was a matter of going to do the extra work to be a doctor or to play basketball, which I love. So I made the decision. It wasn't that important for me to be a doctor. I love basketball. So I changed my major and decided I wanted to coach.
You apparently made the right decision. And sometimes when you go with your heart and what your passion is, that's...
You need to do that.
That can maybe never be a wrong decision, really.
Absolutely. I have no regrets.
That's great. That's great. So you were out in Los Angeles. How did you end up coming back to Chicagoland and then more specifically St. Joseph High School?
Well, at that time, I probably made a mistake. I wanted to be a college coach, really.
And initially.
And but I didn't ask any advice. I did this all on my own. I thought the best way to do it would be to become a successful high school coach. And the Chicago area for high school basketball was unbelievable just because of the press that we received. Now, Los Angeles, it was nothing like that
at all.
Not at all.
Hmm.
So I said, I'm going to go back and try to become a high school coach. And when I came back, there was a sign on a big empty lot there that said, new high school is going to open in 1960.
Oh, it wasn't even a high school prior to that. I didn't know that.
No, it was a sign said it was going to be built, and it was going to be a Christian Brothers school. St. Mel was Christian Brothers. So I contacted the people I knew in St. Mel.
Oh, I see.
Okay. To apply for the job. And what happened was they hired me. That was like I signed the contract to teach at St. Joe's in May of 1960. The school opened in September of 1960. In June of 1960, I got my induction notice to go to the Army. I got drafted. And I said, well, I just signed the contract to teach. Now I got drafted, so I better go find out what I can do to get out of this. At that time, in 1960, there was a shortage of teachers. And people that were teaching were disqualified from the draft and whatever. So anyway, as it turned out, I saw my congressman. And I said, you know, I just signed the contract. The draft notice came afterwards. He said, I'll see what I can do. And sure enough, because I had signed it before I got the draft notice, I ended up not going to the draft, and I took the job. If it was a reverse, if I had signed the contract after I got the draft notice, my whole life would
have been different.
God knows I might not even be a
coach. Wow, that's amazing. That's interesting. Talk about you're right. Faith. Yes, yes. Now, you were a teacher as well as the basketball coach?
I taught, I was in the classroom 9-10 years, taught social studies. I've held every job in the school except running the finance office. I was a principal for one semester.
Oh, you were?
Assistant principal. I was a recruiter. Head of building and grounds. Every job that they've had, I've had.
Hmm. Okay, so in the 1960s, it had to be very difficult getting good players. It had to be difficult because it was a new school as well.
Yes and no. Yes and no. First of all, I was the first coach hired. The second year, they brought in a person who became the athletic director, Pat Callahan, and they made him also the sophomore coach. So he was going to be the head coach, and I ended up staying and working for Pat as an assistant for 9 years. And to this very day, he's my dearest friend. And but I was ready. I was getting itchy. I was ready to leave, and I started looking to. I applied for jobs at different schools, but I couldn't get a head job. So around 1969, I was about ready to get out. I was going to take a job in the business world. In fact, specifically because I had a connection there, Alden's Catalog Store was operating on Roosevelt Road near Cicero Avenue, big catalog store, and they had an opening as a buyer in sporting goods, and I was going to apply for it. I had an interview set up and so forth, so I was ready to get out. Well, in December of 69, Pat had a big brouhaha with the administration, and he resigned. And he did it on purpose at that time instead of waiting till the end of the season so I would have the shot to get the job. Because if he had waited, then it would have been open to everybody.
And he did not want you to leave St. Joseph's.
No, that was, and like I say, it's my dearest friend right now.
Oh, that's great.
And so I took over in December of 69. He resigned, left, and I always wanted to be a head coach, so I've been here ever since.
Were there times in the past 48, 49 years where that college coaching bug kept sticking in your mind?
It was always there, but you know the big thing about it is timing. It just wasn't right. Maybe if it had happened earlier in my career, it would have been different. But by the time it did happen, and it happened around 78, 79, when I had Isaiah and we got some recognition and so forth. I had a daughter. She was born in 67. So she was a little kid. I was still at home. My mother was there. And it was just not good for me to be bouncing all around the country. So I decided I was going to stay.
Wow.
So I had opportunities to leave, but I didn't.
Okay. And that's very interesting.
And I have no regrets.
Well, that's always a great thing. They have no regrets.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, let's talk about Isaiah Thomas. Here's curiosity. So Isaiah comes here as a freshman. Did you ever, in your wildest imagination, dream that he would reach the levels that he did playing basketball?
The only thing I can tell you is the first time I saw him, I knew he was special.
All right.
At that time, as an inexperienced individual in dealing with that kind of talent, how do you know someone is good enough to be a pro? It takes a lot of breaks. And there are people who never made it that
have been tremendously talented players. Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So
the talent was there from the first time you saw
him. That. But he had everything. It wasn't just the talent. He had the charisma. He had the personality. He had the toughness. He was intelligent. I mean, everything just fit with whatever he did. I knew that he was going to be successful in whatever he did and wherever he went. There was no doubt in my mind.
Now, I understand I read somewhere that you had a relationship with Bob Knight, so a mutual respect and...
Well, actually, I knew Bob Knight going back to 1965, 66, when I was an assistant under Pat. He was recruiting one of the guys that played for me as a freshman and sophomore, and then eventually moved up to varsity, Tom Miller, who graduated in 66. Knight was recruiting him for Army, and he eventually did go to Army, and he was on the team with Krzyzewski from Duke. They
okay,
played
right.
For Knight at Army.
Right.
So,
Krzyzewski from Weber High School.
Weber High
School. Chicago, Northwest
exactly.
Side.
Correct. Exactly. And so I knew him. And when Miller came out of the Army after he spent his 4 years of service after he graduated from West Point, he got into coaching, became an assistant in Indiana. And he was the guy that actually recruited Isaiah to Indiana. So I knew Knight. And so when we started bringing Isaiah to Indiana and so forth and so on, we renewed our relationship.
It was a good fit.
Yeah, we were pretty good friends, you know, over the time. Because he not only had Isaiah, but later on he had Daryl Thomas.
Another one of your players.
That's right, and Tony Freeman. So we've sent him three players, and all three won national championships.
They did?
Yeah. Tony Freeman
were
in 87.
Oh, they were together?
They were together in 87.
Okay.
And, of course, Isaiah in 81.
I venture to say you're the only high school coach in America that had players on each of his.
And when he was struggling, I said, you better get another one of my players.
That's a very good point. Apparently, that was the magic that right. led him to the NCAA championship. Wow, that's great. You've coached many NBA players.
Not many.
Well,
we only had three go to the NBA.
Okay, but
many have gone to play professional basketball in Europe.
In Europe, yes.
And some should have been good enough to play. Case in point, Dimitri McKamey.
I remember, yes.
He should be in the NBA, but timing, he got labeled being not as good as he...
At Illinois, I believe.
Correct. And he was good enough, and he is good enough. So he's playing in Italy, by the way.
Is he playing in Italy?
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, that's a nice league, yes. He might even become a citizen, because a lot of times they have him try to become a citizen so they can get more players per team.
Right.
That's possible. But still, three NBA players is... quite an accomplishment. Most have none. So that is great. The 1,000 wins, that happened last season?
17.
Okay.
February of 2017.
Okay. That had to feel incredible for that number.
I mean, I don't know what to say. I really didn't think about it. You know, the years fly by. You don't think about those things that build up like that. What made it incredible was the number of people that came, many of the former players were back and all
did
that.
They come for that
so
night?
It was a very, yeah. What if I had lost?
That would have been bad, yes. Yes, absolutely.
So that's the big thing. I don't think about it in terms of being fantastic or whatever. When I look at it, I've been around a long time.
Of all the accomplishments, you've had so many, is there one that brings a bigger smile to your face, or maybe, you know, just one of them? You've had so many that it would be very hard to come up with that, but maybe one deep down that just kind of really, really brought you happiness.
You know, when that question is asked, I think the first time we accomplished something, so there are many of those. The first time we won a regional. Think about it.
At that point, it
was huge. The first time we won a section. It all happened in 78, by the way.
78 was the first time for all these.
First time we won a regional. First time we won a sectional. First time we won a super. First time we went downstate. And we took second. So the next time was the first time we won
the state. And that didn't happen until 99.
That was 99.
That had to be right. Very special. Just maybe
absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
Getting that thing off your shoulder, you know. That had to feel real
There's
good.
No question, you know. So when you go back over all the years, it's the first time you've accomplished those kind of things. But the other thing that's special, and I try to emphasize that, it's not about wins and, of course, losses. Someone asked me, someone called me from the Franoi.
From the Franoi, okay.
Yeah, right.
Our Italian American magazine.
What's the most memorable thing? And I said, it wasn't a win. It was the big loss we took back in 1979 when Isaiah was a senior. We were number one in the state. And we had gotten beat early in the season. In fact, it was the second game of the season. We got beat by DeSalle in our gym. And we were, at that time, we were 1-2. One win, two losses. Isaiah's averaging 40 points a game. Figure that out. I called Isaiah on the side after that. And I said, we can't win with you averaging 40 points a game. You get average 20-some points a game, but your assists have to go up and you got to get more of all the people involved. And he understood that, at least at that time. We didn't lose again until we played De La Salle in the sectional. That was the second time we played them. And a kid throws a shot in. He had just come into the game. It was in overtime, three-quarter court, threw it, we were up one, and that was no three-point line at the time. He threw it, buzzer went off, and watching the ball go, and I said to my assistant, that's going in. Oh, nothing but net. So we get upset on a toss. That's the worst loss
I've ever experienced.
And when Isaiah was interviewed after he threw a pass that was intercepted by Bird in the playoffs.
I recall that, yes.
Yeah.
And then in the championship.
It was the year before the Pistons had won the championship.
Okay.
And that sort of knocked them out that year.
Right.
And the TV guy had Isaiah interviewed after, you know, the game. And he said, Isaiah, this had to be the worst loss you ever had. And he said, no, it was the DeSalle.
He brought up high school.
Right.
Wow.
1979.
Wow.
So
that tells you something.
That's the one game I'll always remember.
So that season, your team lost twice to the same team.
Right.
And that was it.
We had three losses. You know, we ended up 26-3. Two at the beginning of the season, one to
DeSalle. Oh, right. That's right. You were 1-2.
And then DeSalle again. So twice the DeSalle.
Did DeSalle go on to win the state title?
They got beat in the first game.
In the first game? Wow.
Downer. Downer going, you know, after playing us. Which, you know,
right. Hard to get motivated again. Yes. Wow.
Wow. Main South one at that year.
Oh, is that the year Main South one? Right, okay. Right. All right. I remember that. Last question. At this point, this is going to be your 49th.
50th.
I'm sorry. Your 50th head coaching season. What motivates you at this point? How do you get out of bed and go to work? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I have trouble getting out of bed going to work at my age.
Jardiner peppers. Eat a lot of jardiner
peppers. There you go. I love it. Hotter the better. Yes.
I still have, you know, it's a matter of passion. I still have the passion.
The flame is still burning.
Do you know that I've been here since 1960, and there has never been, ever, one day that I got up in the morning and said, I don't feel like going in today. Not one day.
That's true. Wow. If you can say that, then you really made the right decision in life.
Absolutely.
And there are no regrets.
No regrets.
Well, that's great.
And I still have it. I don't move as quick as I used to. I have to worry about getting run over on the court. It happened.
I would assume it would, especially
my
in practice.
Mind says I got to get out of the way, but bada boom.
The kids are faster and they're bigger. Right.
So they run me over. So I can't go out and demonstrate this much anymore.
Well,
I really think I'd like to keep on doing it as long as I have the passion, as long as I know I can contribute. As long as I can communicate with the young kids, they don't laugh at my jokes anymore. They don't understand them.
That's okay. That's okay. my kids don't laugh at my jokes, so I can understand you. Well, I wish you, this will be your 50th, and the best of luck. I wish you another 50. I thank you for the interview, and I thank you because your success, you know, when I hear that last name and that Italian name, I feel proud because one of us has reached these heights and has done so much with their life. So you're a fine example for our Italian Americans.
Well, thank you. And I feel proud. I feel proud to be an Italian American.
It's a great thing to be. So, Coach, thank you so much. Best of luck in all your games in the future.
Thank you.
Okay. And to my audience, as I always say, stay strong, stay sharp, and stay Italian. Thank you. Have a great day.